Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today I have Dan Hermes. He is a Xamarin MVP and a Microsoft MVP. He's the founder of Lexicon Systems, and he's the author of one of my favorite Xamarin books, Xamarin Mobile Application Development. Dan, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you, Jesse?
I am well and happy to have you here. I note that you were named a Microsoft MVP this month. Congratulations.
I was. Thank you very much.
And what's nice is that since the acquisition, Xamarin is now part of the MVP program, which is great.
They are. It's great. What they did was to categorize Xamarin activities under the Microsoft Visual Studio category. So work done in one area applies to the other.
So that brings me right to the question of the acquisition of Xamarin by Microsoft and the changes that that has brought. I know that, of course, the biggest change is in the cost of Xamarin, which was just before the acquisition was $1,000 per seat per platform. And that has now gone to my favorite price point, which is free, included with Visual Studio.
That's right. Everybody's favorite price point.
So what's involved with installing Xamarin and licensing for Visual Studio?
So for many installations, it just requires a straight-up installation of Visual Studio, and then Xamarin can be installed alongside of it. Certain situations require it tells you to contact Xamarin, but then you contact Xamarin, and basically they get you set up with a free license. To get started at some of the lower level Visual Studio licenses, especially community, it's straight up and it's free.
That's great. That's truly great. Now, let's turn our attention, dive a little bit deeper into the fact that Xamarin Forms has been evolving and there are some new features. Can you talk a little bit about what those features are and then we can dive into a few of them?
Sure, absolutely. So one of the things that was needed for a while as we worked with XAML and as we tried to get our applications formatted was a unified visual look and feel. And this is something that we're used to when we're doing .NET development, is that we use themes in certain cases along with CSS. But we didn't have themes in Xamarin Forms. Well, now we do. We have a basic template and structure by which to have a unified theme.
So let's just help me understand that. What's in a theme? What's not in a theme? How much help does that give you with layout or with look and feel?
Well, right now they ship a light and a dark theme as separate nougats. You can create your own themes. In order to customize those basic themes, it gives you fundamental control over the colors of controls and then the backgrounds around them.
Okay, and by backgrounds are the solid backgrounds, so they're either dark or light. They don't give you images and such yet.
Not as part of themes. We do that other ways. That's customized.
Right. Okay. What are some of the other new features?
Probably the one that's most interesting is the Xamarin Forms Previewer, and this is a way for us to develop XAML and get real-time feedback as we're developing. And so this gives us a preview of a sort of a side-by-side feedback of what your XAML is going to look like in on the different platforms.
Now, Xamarin has three channels. It has alpha, beta, and release. Which channel is the Previewer on?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm not sure which one it is. It was on preview before, but I'm not going to try and say which one it's on right now.
But it's not released yet?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. But what that does is it fills in for the absence of a true designer, but it lets you see in real time the changes you make in the XAML. Do I have that right?
That's right. I mean, the issue with Xamarin Forms was that we had to do everything by hand, and then we have to compile and run it and see it in the emulator or the simulator. And this gives us a kind of a middle road whereby we can get some real-time feedback, as you say. Something that's cool for those of you who are doing renders, custom renders in Xamarin Forms, there's now a way to embed iOS and Android controls directly into your apps. And this just gives you a way to do this without having to go through the whole custom renderer process if all you want is just a fundamental iOS or Android control.
And that's done much like any other dependency injection.
It is, but you don't have to code all your own DI like you do with a custom renderer.
Okay, so is it more like using SQLite?
Yes, Yes, it's more direct.
Okay, I want to turn to Xamarin interacting with Azure. Can you talk a little bit about what Azure can provide for a Xamarin application?
Absolutely. So one of the best ways to get started with Xamarin and Azure is with mobile apps. And the mobile apps, Azure mobile apps, give you a way to get started with Azure, give you a way to get started with their back-end database, their SQL database, and their services with sort of one fell swoop setup. And so when you add what they call an Azure mobile app, it then has a sort of a step-by-step process whereby you can walk through, and they have something called a getting started and a quick start option. And if you pick the quick start option, it then has 1, 2, and 3. And first you say, okay, well, for that, do I want to do it in Xamarin Forms or Xamarin iOS or Xamarin Android? Pick your poison. And then you dive down into the steps. And the first step has you set up a data source. And generally what you're going to be doing, unless you have one already, that is setting up a new SQL database. And it's a couple of steps. It's not 20. And it's very straightforward. You pick a payment plan. There is a free payment plan with, I think, less than 250 megabytes of storage, which is just fine for demos. And then you give it a name, and it churns for a few minutes. You have to let it finish, and then you have a data source. And then what you can do is, instead of going online and downloading samples to try and work against that mobile app and that data source, it gives you the samples right there. There's a download button. And so you pick C# or Node.js, and you click download, and it will allow you to download the server-side service code that you could then compile and then upload again. Now, a little trick here, until this is fixed in the documentation or in the portal itself, if you want to make sure that you add a table to that database that you just created so that your demo will work, you have to go with a node.js option and click the create table button, which will create something called the to-do list table. And then you can proceed on through the demo. If you quickly change node.js to C#, which is certainly what I did, there's no way to create that table except by hand. So just so that you know, and that's not in the tutorial. So go node.js, create the table, and then proceed on down to download your C# code, compile it, you publish it, so that means you then have a service. And then step 3 is another download button that gives you code to compile and access that mobile app service that you just created. And so there, it's very straightforward. You run it, and you can then add tasks to your list, which then add tasks to the database, rows to the database that you just created. So great demo process there, great way to get started with Azure and Xamarin.
All right, Dan and I are now joined by David Silverlight. Many of you may know him from the conference circuit. He's a software developer who had focused on, as you might guess, Silverlight, and is now focusing his attention on mobile apps. He's been devoted to the Microsoft stack for some time, and he's a past MVP. David, how are you?
Hey, I am doing great. Happy to be here.
Now, I heard a rumor at the last conference I was at that Silverlight was actually named after you. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, that has been a rumor that has been circulating from, I guess, once Silverlight came out. It's been more of an urban legend that I've been promoting.
Well, it makes for a great story. So you and Dan apparently both worked, but not at the same time, on the same project called Before You Fly. Can you tell which of you worked on it first?
That would be me.
Okay, so can you tell me a little bit about that project, what it does, and how it got started?
Sure. So the Before You Fly app, it combines two of my favorite things, you know, flying drones and developing Xamarin apps. The application itself is an application that provides what you would call situational awareness in response, like in relation to where you are, so that if you're getting ready to fly your drone, you would basically launch the application, and based on your location, it would show you if there's any flying restriction, if you're in a no-fly zone, if you're in an area where you need to, you know, send a notification, such as to a hospital or to a school, and basically show you if you're in an area where you could fly your drone without having to worry about any penalties or any violations.
And where is it getting all this data?
It gets the data from various feeds from the FAA. So they have, you know, a running set of streams from airports and from, you know, different sources that show basically like the information that will be relevant to, you know, if you're currently in a no-fly zone. You know, it even has future scheduling so that if you wanted to see, let's say next week you were planning on going to another location, if there's any restrictions in that area.
That sounds great. That would greatly increase my comfort if I were to buy a drone and want to fly it.
Let's say that you're in a no-fly zone and you're flying your drone. Even if you're not aware of it, you know, there's very heavy penalties, I think, somewhere in the range of up to $10,000. So it could turn a fun afternoon into a very expensive one.
Yes, it would be cheaper to buy the app. Now, and the app is available in the App Store?
Correct.
Okay. And Dan, how did you get involved with this project?
I got involved with this project when they were looking to move the iOS app into the store, and they had been working with David for a long time on it, and I know that they had some delays on their end, and David had a scheduled trip to Japan, and so they called me to fill in and to help guide things home with them. And so a lot of the work that I did was sort of finalizing some of the things that they had working on Android, where there was one single page within this app. And this is why this is such a fantastic case study from a Xamarin Forms standpoint. Is there's about, what would you say, David, about 20 pages in the app?
Probably even more so. I would think it's probably in the range of 50.
50. Four tabs. Each of those two or three of those four tabs have at least five or eight or as many as 10 menu entries, and then you drill down into pages under that. And most of these pages are just textbook Xamarin Forms. They did them exactly the same. We did them exactly the same on Xamarin iOS as they are on Xamarin Android. And the one page that needed to be custom rendered was the map page. And so this was done significantly differently on the iOS platform from the Android platform. And part of my job was to kind of finish the custom render and then finish the tweaks so that this was working the way it needed to work on iOS, because they were pretty happy with it on Android.
So what you're saying is this started out as a Xamarin Forms app.
This is a Xamarin Forms app.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And they built out testing on iOS before they focused on Android. Do I have that correct?
It was actually started in Xamarin. It was Xamarin Forms, but it was actually started on Android. And so it went into the Android store. It went into the Google Play Store first. And then from there, they released an initial version into the iOS store, but it didn't have the maps and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where I think, David, this is where you got involved, right?
Yes, that's correct. When I was initially starting on it, we were focusing on the iOS part of it. And initially, we were developing a Xamarin iOS app and working to finish that under a pretty tight deadline. And as I started looking more and more into it, I realized that the Android client was written or built on Xamarin Forms. And then I started questioning why we were basically creating the Xamarin iOS version from scratch, you know, being that since the Android version is on Xamarin Forms, that we could basically, you know, build an application as it, the strength of Xamarin Forms, you know, is designed for, you know, basically having one application, a shared code base, and having it rendered on both, you know, iOS, Android, and other platforms. So, you know, we started changing direction on that, whereas really the only thing, as Dan had pointed out, that really needed to be custom rendered was the mapping part of it. And, you know, it didn't seem that we would be, you know, adding any additional or less work by creating that as a renderer, because you would essentially have to build, you know, if you did it in iOS, you would be developing the mapping portion the same way that you would do it as a renderer inside of the application. So the direction of the project changed a bit. You know, we had some meetings and there were some discussions. There was a lot of, you know, there were different people seeing things in different ways. It was one of those discussions I'm sure you've been involved with, you know, as to whether we should build something in Xamarin Forms or, you know, as a separate native client. So that was a really interesting part of the project early on. We had some very intense meetings and, you know, we were discussing, kind of debating whether we should build it in Xamarin Forms or build a separate iOS client. And it was a very interesting part of the project. There were a lot of, I would say, emotionally charged discussions. But in the end, I think, you know, based on the type of application that we were building, the decision was made to really go directly, you know, just extend the Xamarin Forms project to both iOS and Android and to build the mapping portion as a separate renderer for each one.
Which in retrospect was absolutely the best decision. I know it's hard sometimes when you're in the heat of the moment, And when people want things right, and they're not sure of the risks of, going with something like Xamarin Forms, but the decision, and I have admiration for your, you must have had some persistence with this, David, in pressing forward with your recommendation, because, of the many projects that I've looked at where it's kind of, even afterwards, I scratch my head and wonder if it should have been Xamarin Forms. This is clearly, a textbook Xamarin Forms project, where one page out of dozens, needed to be custom rendered, and the rest of them needed to be slightly tweaked.
Now, how much were they giving up by using Xamarin Forms in terms of what you hear is that by going native directly to iOS and Android through Xamarin, that you get more control over the UI and the user experience. Was it your experience that they were giving up a bit of control by doing Forms?
So I think there was some initial concern, you know, like in terms of would we be losing anything by developing it on the Xamarin Forms side, you know, like using Xamarin Forms instead of building it as an Xamarin.iOS app. And, you know, I think depending on the complexity of an application, you know, there might be some differences, but in the case of this application, the pages were pretty basic in terms of what they contained. They were list boxes or, you know, like a bold list. You know, just really simple forms that were mainly, you know, data and content. They didn't really have a lot of animations or a lot of complexity to them. And, you know, I would say that you can, you know, debate if there would be anything lost going directly through native or not. But to me, one of the real strengths and one of the real deciding factors in this is that, you know, we had a tight deadline, and we had a number of pages to have done in that time. And I think there was the perception that building it directly in iOS would have been completed really quickly. And from my experience, you know, that would have added additional time to the deadline. And if there was any maintenance or any changes that would need to be made to the pages, you know, you would end up essentially making them in two separate places. So, you know, it is possible that there would be some trade-off in terms of like the layout and how the pages would look. But, the benefit would be that you would really be able to develop them much faster. It was really kind of theoretical as to what the differences would be. And if you had to make any changes to the pages, you would be making them, you know, in one place as opposed to two separate places.
David, I think you're absolutely correct. I think it was unquestionably faster in Forms rather than rewriting it in Xamarin iOS. And then as far as the trade-offs, I mean, here's where the unique aspects of not just the technical requirements, not just the even the specifications, but the unique aspects of the stakeholders themselves, that is the people who are driving the project, help to make this decision. And these particular stakeholders and their need for this project, they did not need a Facebook / Starbucks / a Pokemon Go level consumer-based application. They needed something that provided the fundamental data in a way that was consumable and usable and understandable, a lot of data, and they needed it quickly. And those were the priorities, and they needed it presented in a way that was professional, but they didn't need it in a way that was from a Fortune 500 design company. And so given that as the case, that means some of the trade-offs that you get with Xamarin Forms simply were not an issue with this particular project. They didn't even notice when, say, for example, we couldn't do things exactly a particular way. We came up with another way that Xamarin Forms allowed us to do it easily, and they were quite happy with it.
So let me push on that a little bit, because I'm really interested in this trade-off. And let's say they did want the kind of UI that a Fortune 500 customer-facing application has. That is, they brought in a designer, and they said, we want it to look like this, and we want our buttons to look like that. Given the availability of Xamarin Forms effects and custom rendering, is there still a good case for doing it native, or could you do it in Forms, get a substantial amount of reuse, and still tailor it to what they need?
When I get a question like that from a customer, generally what I recommend is that we go through the app page by page and do either a high-level assessment, a high-level review, or actually go in and say, let's pick the 10 most important pages and do a prototype. Because a lot of times, even if you give a recommendation, they don't really understand the nature of the answer until they can see the things they can and can't do with a particular technology set.
Well, give me an example of something that you cannot do with Forms that you can do in native iOS.
There are certain properties within buttons, even with buttons, for example, that you don't have access to. And so you can't customize every single detail of a particular, of a button. You can change the font, you can change the font size, but you can't change exactly how the text is placed within that button. You can't change the colors of the drop shadows on that button. And so if you have a designer who comes in and they're in good with their boss and they say, I want this to be exact, I want the title of this button to be exactly 12 pixels from the bottom of each of these buttons on the iPhone, and I want it to be 15 pixels from the bottom on the iPad, and you can't give it to them, they're going to go back to the boss and say, this is an issue. If you have a stakeholder like that, Xamarin Forms is not for you.
Okay.
Go ahead, David. I was going to say, I had a similar experience with, like, for example, an entry field where it was the most crucial part of the application that the entry field should have an underline, you know, not surrounded by boxes, the single underline, you know, what it's focused on. And, that was something that, you know, like you were pointing out, Dan, you don't have access to those properties. And, you know, in my case, I accomplished that with a custom renderer, and you know, now with effects, that becomes easier, but it becomes something that could be accomplished.
My sense of it is that you can accomplish just about anything in Xamarin Forms by using custom rendering, and that the only reason not to use Xamarin Forms when it turns out that you're going to have to custom render so much that you're no longer really getting the benefit of Xamarin Forms. Would you agree with that, or do you think that even with custom rendering, there are things that you just can't do?
I would agree with that. I think that's precisely right. David?
Yeah. I was going to chime in. Yeah, exactly. That's been the way that I've measured it as well.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Let's say a client came to you and they said, I want an application that is forms over data. And you looked at the pages and they were pretty straightforward. There were entry fields and buttons and lists, nothing special there. But they telegraphed to you that they really wanted it to look nice. They wanted it to look very professional and have a color scheme and so forth. Just based on that little bit of information, are you inclined to start with forms, or even then you're inclined to go to native?
Well, with that description, my inclination would be to go with forms. And, you know, I guess kind of following what Dan was suggesting earlier, you know, if there are any of the forms that are in question, you know, it might simplify things to build them out and to show them. But I would be showing them, you know, with basically the understanding that it would accomplish the look and feel, especially if something with, you know, just that's very data driven, the professional look and feel that they're looking for. And I would expect that if there were some changes that would be, you know, made to it, or parts that they're unhappy with, or they think it doesn't meet the look and feel that they're looking for, that they would be minor things, and, you know, things that we could just accomplish and then, you know, move forward on the rest of it.
Let me ask you, related to that then, do you feel that the client can safely have you build a Xamarin Forms application and then bring a designer in at the end, or do you need the designer to come in at the very beginning?
Well, I would think that if you were to basically design your application, you know, using a centralized style sheet, you know, like within the app XAML file, you can specify, for example, the font that you want to use, or, you know, certain stylings. And then, you know, if they were to come in the beginning, you know, for the layout, that might improve the look and feel, I guess, you know, from the start, but it could be designed in a certain way that, you know, if you weren't focused on the look and feel from the get-go, that, you know, once you're farther into the project and a designer would join the team, that it would be more of a matter of, you know, like, you know, creating the style sheet or improving the existing styles that you might have within the app. But, you know, it can take an application where you might have certain styles like a, you know, header text or, you know, label text style that you've defined, and then just have the designer come in at, you know, later on and just, you know, add some polish to the way that it currently looks.